Okay, the October 15th, 2024 meeting of the Derry Township Zoning Hearing Board is called to order. I want to make everybody aware that it is and has been the policy of Derry Township to record meetings for the purpose of accurate notes and posting on the township website. This meeting is being recorded for those purposes. We'll do a roll call. Joe Nocera?
Here.
Tom DeDonatis?
Here.
Mike Angelo?
Here.
Bill Tefuto?
Here.
Steve Seidel? I'm here. Okay, we're all here. Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the September 18th, 2024 meeting. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Tom. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries unanimously. All right, we have one item of old business today. That's the adoption of a decision in the case of David McCrina, case number 2024-20. I will read the substantive parts of that proposed order, and we'll go from there. So number one, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-401.2.1.B regarding construction on areas with slopes in excess of 20% is granted. The applicant may construct the single-family residence while disturbing no more than the area depicted in yellow in the applicant's sketch plan submitted to the board at the hearing of this matter, except as otherwise permitted by the ordinance. And then I won't read all of these here. The applicant can read these in the order when they receive that. But there's a number of conditions that we've placed on that we're placing on this decision. So I'll make a motion to adopt this decision. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Bill. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries unanimously. Okay. All right, new business. We have one case tonight. We have a hearing in the case of Wendy R. Wolfliff. Am I saying that right? Say again?
She's in the parking lot.
Okay. Okay, so if I butchered her name, then I guess she didn't hear that. Case number 2024-21. So we'll give her a minute here. I made the motion and Bill seconded it.
Delay. Everything looks so dark outside.
Okay. Yeah, if you would. So we've just called your case. So we do need you to state your full name and your address and to be sworn in by the court reporter.
All right. My full name is Wendy R. Wolfleff. My address is 810 Fishburn Road, Hershey, PA, 17033. And I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. In the Bible.
Okay, you can explain to us what you want to do and how you're meeting there.
I'm before your hearing board to see if I can get special exceptions for my home on 810 Fishburn Road to turn it into a bed and breakfast home. Right now it's currently SFDD. And when I go through the paperwork to fill out, it is a It is a residential and commercial corridor. The bed and breakfast home will not overburden our public utilities. There is existing commercial vendors in this same neighborhood along the whole street. And then this property meets all the requirements of the zoning ordinances. So I was asking for, I think you're allowed to have up to five, no more than five bedrooms. I'm asking for four bedrooms. And I have no alleyways or anything in the block. I have a driveway, rather wide driveway, to the side of my house, and two car parking under in a garage, plus five more spaces outside to the right of the house. Well, when you're facing it, would be to the right. So parking should not be a problem or burden any of my neighbors.
Yeah, can you describe your, like, you know, number of bedrooms and and so on that you currently have in your property? And what, well, hold on, let me finish, please.
It has a bedroom on the main floor with an adjacent bathroom with a walk-in shower. So that would be actually a nice fit for a person that has disabilities or difficulty climbing stairs. And then upstairs, three bedrooms. And a bath up there, full bath up there. And then, let's see. It has a living room, dining room, kitchen.
And are you planning on adding bedrooms or adding to your house?
Well, it currently has enough bedrooms for me to rent out and to reside on the premises.
Okay, are you adding anything to the...
I wasn't going to add anything.
So you said you have one bedroom on the main floor and a bathroom, and you have three bedrooms upstairs?
Yes. And then I have a full basement with a walkout exit for me.
So your plan is to, when you have guests there, your plan is to be in the basement, is to stay in the basement. That's the plan. And are you going to allow access to the kitchen to the guests?
What I was thinking is that although I have a home economics degree, I don't enjoy getting up early and making breakfast. So I was going to make things available for people to make themselves cereal or cook cereal or the pots and pans and that, those items to make their own breakfast. And then when they were gone, I'd clean up. Luckily, I have a dishwasher.
So
I think they'd enjoy tasting my meals. I'm usually too impatient, and I burn toast rather quickly.
So is your plan to rent in each bedroom, rent individual rooms to various guests?
My plan to rent in each bedroom for what?
To rent each bedroom to individual guests or...
At the present time, I'm thinking that it will probably be families, since we're in the Hershey area and you have a lot of tourists. But the bedrooms are separated, but they would have to share the bath on each floor.
And so, what do you have in the basement that would allow you to live there?
Full bath.
You have a full bath.
Well, I have a shower, walk-in shower, toilet, and sink. I also have an outdoor shower, but I don't think guests will enjoy that as much as I do.
I have a concern about the parking. Dave, maybe you can help us out with this accessibility and the parking situation for the number of vehicles that might be staying at the property overnight. as far as, will they have separate spots for each vehicle that's required, or will they have to park in line in the driveway?
So a bed and breakfast home is more akin to residential in this setting, where we allow stacked parking. I would recommend a condition be made that it not be rented individual bedrooms, but whole house at the time, because that will affect the parking, because if there are non-related people, now you have a parade of cars in and out of a busy road, trying to get the appropriate car out. However, there are enough spaces for the two for her dwelling unit plus the four bedrooms, so six total spaces required. And as she mentioned, she does have the space in the garage plus five in the driveway itself. We do make them line them off. We do make applicants line them off. So that's something that's checked on inspection.
Yeah. Can you show us, though, where I'm not following, where the spaces outside of the garage are?
You can see two cars, or one car there. And so imagine that opening the garage door and it's two car widths in there. So there, that would be two spaces where the car is now, and beside it are, that would be two more spaces. And then down the entire right side, you could get more spaces.
How wide is the driveway that's paved, Dave? Do you know?
It's, I would say two cars could pass each other on the driveway because it's done it. I drive a Honda and a Subaru, so I don't have a big Ram truck or anything like that. But
and then just for the record, this is being measured from quite a distance, so it is not to be taken as fully accurate. Reasonable to assume 12 to 15 feet.
Are we still talking about the width of the driveway?
Yes. Yes. Okay. The driveway width is roughly 12 to 15 feet.
Okay. Which is not two car widths.
No.
Is your plan to rent the rooms out individually, or are you only planning to rent this to one family? If somebody says, I need it, I only need two of the bedrooms.
What I'm thinking is that maybe families would come, grandparents and adult children and grandchildren.
So one rental, one family, one. You're not going to have two families.
No, I would think in the fall you'd have.
You might have two couples there. Is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm. And David, could you review the special exception portion about the kitchen and what is allowed and what isn't allowed? Is it cooking? Is there?
Yes.
As well as the definition section too, David.
Absolutely. So I will start with the definition of bed and breakfast home. A bed and breakfast home is an owner-occupied single-family detached dwelling in which a maximum of 10 rooms, all without cooking facilities, are rented to guests typically on a daily basis, in which breakfast may be served to the guest by the proprietor of the facility. Then check in the special exception requirements. Point E states, meal service shall be limited to breakfast only to overnight guests of the facility.
So basically they want the people that are staying there to be served food, not to prepare food. Is that, it says served by the...
So it's the operative word in the definition is may be served breakfast. Breakfast is not a requirement. There is no meal service requirement. It's just optional.
Right, but if
then
they're...
it is limited to breakfast only and provided by the proprietor.
Right. Provided by meaning light muffins and stuff, or are they? Or I guess what I'm asking is, that are the people? I always thought there was something with like cooking or a stove or something where the people that the guests weren't supposed to have access to that. Is that not a thing?
Yes. Historically, this board and the township has viewed that the guests should not be they should not have access to the cooking facilities, because then it turns, the lines are blurred between short-term rental and bed and breakfast home.
And in my thoughts, I was thinking of a tourist home from when I was a kid, where the owners of the property, I think whoever came into the house at the time would share that bathroom, and people understood that. And then there's the opportunity to make your own cereal or whatever in the morning. So I don't know if the bed and breakfast idea still goes with that tourist home idea or not, that used to be on Cocoa Avenue, you remember.
So it has been the township zoning officer determination in the past, and it holds true that guests of this bed and breakfast, as with all bed and breakfasts, should not be able to cook their own meals. It should be breakfast only provided by the proprietor. We have seen that a continental breakfast is perfectly fine, too.
Right. Okay, so that's what...
Setting out little cereals and stuff like that.
As little cooking for me to do, the better. I pour their own cereal for them?
Well, breakfast is not... You do not need to provide breakfast. Okay. You could just choose to not provide the breakfast as well.
Okay.
But if you choose to, it's just a cold...
If
you choose to, you're leaving out cold breakfast. They shouldn't be on the stove, oven,
right,
etc. I think that's the point, right?
And I would think that they would help themselves to heating up muffins in the microwave. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I think that's part of what we're trying to clarify here, is that they're not, a bed and breakfast home, they're not to have access to cooking facilities. So if they, you know, pour themselves a bowl of cereal, that's fine. But if you're giving them access to, the whole first and second floor, including the kitchen, that's not the definition of a bed and breakfast.
Okay. This house happens to have it. I don't know why, but they would actually had a swinging door in the kitchen, and a hallway, and another door on the other side, and I can block off the entire kitchen for the people. That would make them have to access the house from the front door.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you intending to then permanently live in the basement area, or are you...
No, sir.
Okay.
I would live in the basement area when I would have guests.
Okay. So you're
depending on the guests. If they're my relatives, I'm staying in my bed.
Okay, so your intention is that you still intend to utilize the entire house, including the kitchen on your first floor?
For yourself. For myself.
And when you have guests in the other four bedrooms, then they would have essentially exclusive use of those four bedrooms and the bathrooms.
The living room and the dining room.
But not the kitchen and not the lower level.
Correct.
Okay.
I have a question. And is this, what kind of availability will you have? Will it be year-round, or will it be just tour season, summer season?
I'm thinking year-round, and I'm thinking probably more families would come in the summertime and more couples would come in the spring and fall.
Okay. So potentially you could have guests year-round, and you'd be in the basement for the full term during the guests. Okay.
It's a nice basement, pool table, dartboard.
My only concern might be that if the owner-operator is not going to be providing a breakfast for the people staying there, that it kind of gets away from the concept of bed and breakfast, doesn't it?
Well, if it's going to be bed and breakfast where I'm the only one serving, I can do that. But I was thinking more of the cold cereal and that kind of thing. More of a continental breakfast where you eat and run.
All right, thanks.
I'm expecting guests to probably have a full agenda. In summertime, it would be Hershey Park. The rest of the year might be looking at leaves changing or whatever.
All right, thank you.
So when you would have guests there, back to the parking, where would you be parking and how will you get in and out if your schedule doesn't coincide with theirs in terms of going about your, you know, your daily activities?
I'm thinking it's my property, so my schedule would need to coincide with the guest's departure and me leaving after them. I can also, my son has a place, I could walk to my son's house and take his car if I needed to.
Right, okay. What is the distance, do you know the distance between your garage and, looks like you have a turnaround key there. My concern is, you know, backing out onto Fishburne Road.
Yes, what I have people do is I have them back down the driveway, face in, and go on to the McAdam area, and then back out. When they back, they don't even go, they go straight across the driveway there, and then turn their vehicle forward. So if you'd ever come to my house and you would start to back into that turnaround, I'd encourage you to back straight down the driveway, go face forward into the turnaround, and then go backwards. And that has been there for years. So some of it's McAdam and some of it's stone. It was all there.
Right. So how much space then is available then from that? And David, I don't know if we have any kind of a plan or anything that shows that.
You mean the length?
Yeah, from the face of the garage to, you know, where that turnaround is. Yeah, it's going to be hard to determine.
Well, maybe we could figure out the width of my house.
Well, I'm trying to understand.
Feet.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand whether there's space for two cars in front of the garage or four cars in front of the garage without blocking that turnaround space.
Four cars in front of the garage, two cars in front of the garage, and then two more down the line.
Okay, but if there's two down the line, how do you get past those cars
if
when you turn around?
At that point, because of that turnaround space. It's narrowest at the bottom of the road, at closest to the road. It's narrowest there.
Yeah, I mean, without seeing some dimensions, I'm not following how you both use the turnaround for its intended purpose and also park cars, you know, past where the turnaround is. That just doesn't seem plausible.
I think you're saying you would have the two cars that are along the side, you'd have them closer to the road? Is that, you would not?
Closer to the house.
Closer to the house, okay. So what
so
Steve
you would
is...
would be like parallel parking, and it would be three cars down the far right side, parallel parking.
Three down the right, two at the garage, and then the bump out would stay open?
Yes. And you could actually... But it might defeat your purpose is you could actually back into the McAdam area and there could be a space there at the turnaround space, but you're really defeating your purpose.
So where that car is, if there's another one beside it, you would instruct them to...
There would be lines in the thing, so they should stay in the lines. There would be parallel lines.
And then you would have them back into that
down
area.
The halfway.
So that car that's there now, Would you have them swing into that open spot and then face forward?
No.
You'd have them back all the way down the driveway and then back onto Fishburne.
To turn in the turnaround spot.
So we're backing up, passing the turnaround, and then going forward into the turnaround, and then...
Oh, I see what you're saying. That's instead of backing into the turnaround.
It's not the same thing, sir.
Yeah, I did just...
The way I'm describing.
Yeah.
Okay, but just what I'm trying to understand is, once you get into the turnaround going forward, how are you backing up? But if you go straight back, I thought you were saying there's cars lined up along that right side of the driveway.
You're coming down too far. Stop above that area.
Stop above, closer to the garage, you're saying?
You can actually back straight back. You could actually make a turn there, but people don't turn that.
So the parallel parking wouldn't extend back into that turner back. So if we're looking at that line, you got a car beside the CRV or whatever's there, and then additional two cars.
Two more, yeah.
The cars aren't coming back as far as that turnaround. Is that what you're saying? It's an optical illusion.
Well, you know what?
Like
probably half.
Right, exactly. That's exactly it.
Would be at that turnaround spot. So
yeah,
I think
our chairman's question is whether you can properly and efficiently use that turnaround when you have two parallel parking spots there that are going to impede its use. And so I think it all boils down to, you know, because of that, are people going to be backing all the way up into Fishburne? So that's why the questions are kind of centered around making sure that it's feasible
to
do
that.
Making sure
that you can turn, yes. So if you pull into that turnaround spot, you could also back into the back end of that Subaru that's showing there too, because that would be an empty space to turn. That will not.
I mean, what would be nice is if we actually had a plan view to scale, showing the, you know, where the placement of the cards is and what the radii are for turning, just to make sure everything works the way you think it's going to work, and so that we have something to reference if we approve
and
or approve with conditions.
In the past, I've had two teenage children. They're now adults. My daughter just turned 39 today, but we had five cars in our driveway all the time, so it was always a maneuverable thing. Only once did I have a truck at the time, but it was a small truck.
Any other questions?
I guess the other possibility could be to drop it down to three bedrooms, and then that would eliminate one car space. But if you're still that concerned, I'd like to keep it at four bedrooms.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mr. Tefuto had it correct as far as where I was going with what I was asking you, and that is, it's very hard to tell just looking at a photo here.
The only way that you could maybe
without looking at a plan,
the bird's eye view.
Right, without looking at a plan,
measure off and draw the lines.
Yeah. To have a plan that shows where you're intending to put the parking relative to the existing macadam and gravel, turnaround, et cetera. So, and typically that's, what we would expect to see when someone's showing. Now we could, certainly that could be something the township staff could verify, which is one possibility. David, has that been looked at all yet?
No. Okay. That would be looked at as part of the permit in. Our standard parking space is 9 feet by 18 feet. granted, again, in most residential situations, that's overlooked just because it's not as imperative on residential. However, when you're using residential as commercial in this case, we do require that standard parking township parking spaces be provided.
Okay, I think we've asked our questions. Is there anything else you want to add before we invite?
I can't think of any.
Okay.
I thank you.
So we'll invite public comment then, and then we'll close out from there. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to speak, testify? Please come up to the podium and please give us your full name and your address, and the court reporter will swear you in.
My name is Susan Lynn Epler, and although I live in Elizabethtown, I have to own the house next to Wendy at 818 Fishburne Road.
I'm sorry, can you speak into the
mic? Sorry. My name is Susan Lynn Epler, and we own the apartment building next to Wendy at 818 Fishburne Road, and we live in Elizabethtown. Is there anything else you want me to say?
How do you spell your last name?
Oh, E, P as in Paul, L-E-R.
Thank you.
I do. Okay, so we just have two concerns. We're okay with whatever she wants to do, that's fine, more power to her. But one is the parking. Years ago, people used to park on our place, and my dad and I had to go over and talk to her and tell her that that wasn't allowed. But that was years ago, so I'm not worried about that. But more recently, she just crosses over a property to leave that way instead of using her own driveway. And like if she didn't think we would be up, or if we were passing and we just happened to catch her a couple of times where we saw the lines in the grass. So that is one of our concerns, is the parking, because we, you know, have our own tenants over there, and we don't want our place being used. The other thing is pets. We were worried about that because, like, her dog comes over and defecates on our yard quite often. And that's okay. I mean, she's our neighbor. We'll just dispose of it. But I don't want other animals to do the same thing. And those were our two concerns.
Okay. So you're talking about animals that may be accompanying people that are renting a room?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you 19?
We're on the right.
So when you're saying traverse, they go from that turnaround tub and then cross right through?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a little bit kind of catty corners where she would come, but yeah. When the grasses are up, she can't do as much, but yeah. We did allow her to park there when she was getting her road repaved, but not to go through our grass.
You mean straight through there?
Yeah, when the grasses aren't there. Then she would go there, yes. And those are pretty much our only concerns. Other than that, I mean, we have no problem with it all. So that's it. Do you have any questions of me, or?
Well, just so, are you saying that driving through that area was happening when, just any time, or just when there were more vehicles, or vehicles?
Well, there was no reason for that, but yeah. A long time ago, she'd have people park there, but that was right after we bought the building, and that was years ago, when my husband and I bought it in 2001.
Okay.
So, those are our only two concerns. So, is that good?
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for? Nope. Okay. So anyone else from the public wishing to speak? You're welcome to if you want to.
Regarding the parking spaces before they owned, the previous owner allowed, we all attend Fishburne Church, so we would have an eat and run type of thing at our home after church, so everybody would gather and eat at our house and then go home. The previous owner that owned the apartments before those buildings, the sheds were there, allowed us to park, the friends to park their cars, because it was often as much as 20 people. So that was a safe way out, and also safe in our driveway as well. So that would have been more of a situation where it would have been an event or something like that. That's what people would call it today. On Sundays after church for a meal. And then they also had given me permission when we did have an event, which was my daughter's wedding, to use that area there to turn around as well. So we are pretty reasonable neighbors as far as respecting each other. When I do drive through their property, it's because I have a trailer on the back and I am cutting down those decorative grasses. I often cut theirs down for them as well. So I thought that I was doing them a favor by returning the favor. Regarding the dogs, they go through the backyard, and one of their rentals is right on the other house on the other side, and they have a Dalmatian, and their puppy and the boys call the dogs over and then chase their dog back. So the dogs running back and forth through the backyards does happen, and I can control that by stopping it by getting the shock collar on the dog again. They do have, under all of their sheds, they do have feral cats, so we ignore the cats.
Anyway, Wendy, would you have a problem if we put a condition, if we were inclined to approve this, would you have a problem with a condition that said your guests can't have pets?
Oh, for sure.
Is that fine?
I would be more than happy for that one.
All right, just wanted to...
Because that would be a problem.
I mean, that addresses this, we don't, yeah.
And do you still have your Sunday gatherings, or is that in the past?
No, that my husband was the cook in our family.
All right, thank you.
Like I said, I don't cook. I clean, make the mess and then clean up. But I don't do the cooking.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Can I answer all the issues that Sharon had?
I think so. All right, so the board has 45 days to render a decision, and you have 30 days thereafter to appeal if you're aggrieved in any way.
Steve, we're in the back, maybe. Were you guys planning to say
anything?
Was
there anyone else who was planning on speaking? I think I asked that, but...
Well, we're concerned about the past, but you addressed that, so...
Okay.
Okay, so you're good? All right, thank you. Okay, that concludes that hearing. Okay, any other business? Hearing none, I'll make a motion for the board to adjourn to executive session
to deliberate.
Thank you, Tom. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the board will adjourn to executive session to deliberate on this case. Thank you.